warning, warning, there's truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Some programming notes. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we will have filmmaker Tim Mahoney back on the show. He produced the amazing documentary, Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus, which was in theaters here in the U.S. 4 years ago. 5 years ago, it was released in Asia and the rest of the world. And then it came to the U.S., and it was a smash hit as a Fathom event. Many theaters were sold out, so this is the sequel, and it will be showing on 900 screens this week, Thursday night, Saturday night, and then next week on Tuesday. And in fact, I'm headed with my wife Cheryl, our son Michael, to Decatur, Alabama. We'll be there starting Thursday for a weekend of creation apologetics, the age of the earth. What a great time we'll have at Fairview Baptist Church and other facilities there. And we're going to start out Thursday night at the AMC 12 Decatur Theater, going to the movies. I imagine it'll be sold out. I hope and pray it will be, to see Tim Mahoney's film, Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy. So Tim will be on again tomorrow. We're scheduled to have him on. And I want to talk today about the ICR newsletter, almost like a magazine, Acts and Facts, that mentions Real Science Radio in their cover story. And I want to mention that we're going to have a famous former abortionist on, Anthony Levitino, on the show probably in April, and when he gets back from Israel and Egypt. And I see that we have a call. We usually don't take calls, but we have a caller who wants to talk about our Michael Jackson segment from last week. But a little bit more first about Tim Mahoney. The evidence for the Exodus outside of the Bible is something that creationists and those who defend the gospel of Jesus Christ and the scriptures, we've always wished we had access to more evidence to reach people that the Bible is God's word. And so God has filled the world with evidence for the creation and evidence for the global flood. And the evidence for the resurrection is overwhelming. Well, an event as big as the Exodus should have left behind a treasure trove of archaeological hard evidence. And sure enough, Tim Mahoney has done a fabulous job of making accessible to the general public that amazing evidence that the books of Genesis, the latter chapters, and the book of Exodus, that they're historical, as they're also, aside from being in God's word, which is enough for those who love him and trust him, but for those who are not yet persuaded, when the Bible says, be ready to give an answer to those who ask for the hope that is within you, Tim Mahoney has brought and made accessible to the general public, to me and to you, the overwhelming historical and archaeological evidence for the historicity of the Exodus. So now this is the sequel beginning Thursday night, a Fathom event, 900 screens around the country in a theater near you. And this is to answer the accusation by atheists, materialists, and others that Moses did not write the first books of the Bible. They argue he could not have written them because there was no alphabet at the time. There were just pictographs and these geometrical symbols, cuneiform and hieroglyphs and so on. And so there was no alphabet. There was no Hebrew alphabet. And so Moses didn't write the first books of the Bible. So tomorrow we'll talk about that. And you got to see it Thursday night or Saturday night or Tuesday. And if you're in Alabama, we know there are a few dozen people at least coming to visit to join in on the events this weekend in northern Alabama. If you can make it there, We're going to go to the movies Thursday night there in Decatur so that even though we're halfway across the country, Cheryl and I, our son Michael, will join our friends there and Pastor Brian of Fairview Baptist Church, and we're all going to go to the movies. Okay, so of those issues we want to talk about, we do have on the line, we usually don't have time to take callers, but Dave from Greeley wanted to mention our Michael Jackson segment from last week. So, Dave, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing great, sir. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call in. And last week when I was listening to that Michael Jackson show, I was just laughing the whole time. And it wasn't laughing at you. It was just laughing in astonishment. The wisdom you always pull out and how you handle those situations.
Uh-huh.
Like, you called the lawyer and you challenged them.
Garagos for saying he would sue anyone who would, you know, repeat the accusation that Michael Jackson molested these children.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we called him and said he is a homosexual child molester, and here's where we air on the radio, so you could reach us if you need to sue us. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dave.
I just thought that was awesome because there is not a single person I know outside of you and the church that would do something like that. So I think you are right on in how you deal with these situations. The wisdom is awesome. I learn something every single day when I listen to your show.
Well, I'll give you a half hour to cut that out.
Also, too, Bob, I thought was awesome was you called the prosecutor and gave him some information that he may not have had, but I thought that was awesome.
Well, thank you, Dave. And you know what? The title of last week's show included something like the Michael Jackson fans are guilty of not protecting children because when they applaud somebody like Michael Jackson grabbing his crotch in public with children all around him, for the whole world to see, he's basically mocking everyone who knows right from wrong and saying, I could do anything I want to do, anything. And, of course, what he meant is with little boys. That's what he meant. And so, sure, bringing the prosecutor's attention to the Super Bowl halftime show of all things, and then the news footage of Michael Jackson in a toy store in London with a young boy. And he crouches down. And he points to a toy with the young boy, and the boy flinches away, like he doesn't want Michael Jackson to touch him. These things are so obvious, but they were ignored by a public who lacks wisdom. So, hey Dave, thank you very much for that affirmation. I really appreciate that.
You bet, Bob.
So the issue is, of course, knowing right from wrong. Honoring God by how we respond to right from wrong, not being intimidated just because somebody is a celebrity, a megastar, it doesn't mean that we need to keep our mouths shut when this person is a threat to not only the children around him, but the way the homosexual activists, the pedophiles, the group NAMBLA used Michael Jackson, they exploited his wickedness, taking a survey, asking people, would you still approve of Michael Jackson, even if it turned out that he definitely had sex with children? And so many people in their survey, granted it wasn't a scientific survey, but it shows us that they are actively trying to use support for an obvious child molester to lower or to even remove the stigma against having sex with children. And Jeff Bezos at Amazon, how despicable he is. From many years ago, back when Amazon was a lot smaller, they have had a book on there called Pedophilia, The Radical Case. We link to it from our website, kgov.com, where we list all the famous people, all the media groups, all the leftists who in their many ways have affirmed pedophiles, and especially homosexual pedophiles. We have that page is online at kgov.com/pedophile. And so we link to Amazon selling that book Pedophilia, the Radical Case, 300 pages advocating that it should be legal to have sex with children. It's one of those NAMBLA books. NAMBLA, their slogan, Sex by Eight or It's Too Late, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, how despicable that is. And back when Amazon was young, our materials, The Plot, was being sold on Amazon, My Life's Work, An Overview of the Bible. They took down The Plot. They kicked us off because of violating their community standards. And we challenged them and we said, you're selling this book that advocates pedophilia, sex with children. You need to remove that book. You're hypocrites. And Jeff Bezos and the whole left-wing, godless media, the culture, it's all so corrupt and vile. So I thank God for men like Tim Mahoney, who are giving us the tools to show people that the Bible is God's word. And if you live your life as though there were no God, you are going to pay for that incredibly selfish decision of yours. There is a God. Anyone who starts out with 0 + 0 = everything, there's no end to the mistakes they're going to make. And so when we know God's word, when we understand biblically about the nature of God, what God has revealed to us about him, and when we understand the creation, as Jesus said, that God made us male and female at the beginning of the creation, not after millions of years or billions of years, like theistic evolutionists claim, or atheists, of course. They think that mankind came onto the scene after 3.7 billion years and 4.5 billion years after the earth formed. So if you have that as your foundation, you could see clearly enough to have wisdom, insight, and know how to respond to the challenges around us, not only in the culture, but in our families and at the workplace, to take the wisdom from God's word so that we could be more successful. That might mean making more money, it might not, but be more successful in that we're honoring God with our actions and our thoughts and our decisions. By the way, Tim Mahoney with this film, when the atheist, the materialist, the secular Egyptologist and archaeologist, when they say that the Hebrew alphabet was not the first alphabet and that there wasn't even an alphabet around when Moses, they don't even believe Moses was a real person, many of them. A lot of them say Jesus wasn't real. That's how delusional they are. Their bias overrules rationality as they draw their conclusions. Well, it just turns out, just coincidentally, that our word alphabet comes from the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph and Bet. Just coincidence. And another coincidence, the whole world refers to the ancient kings of Egypt with the term Pharaoh. And yet the term Pharaoh is not an Egyptian word. It's a Hebrew word. So how is it that the Egyptians, who are not fans of the Jews, how is it in history that even the Egyptians themselves, not only the whole world, but even the Egyptians themselves would adopt a Hebrew word for the title of their ancient kings? Isn't that something? And the word Pharaoh has not been found applying to any monarch on any Egyptian monument, which is so interesting, right? In other words, it wasn't a contemporaneous title until Joseph was brought into Egypt. And that's when the whole world began to adopt the Hebrew reference to the palace that the Egyptian king lived in. And that's where the Hebrews, that's how they derived their word Pharaoh. So interesting. It's all so great. The evidence for God is overwhelming, and it's everywhere you look. I mentioned that there is a reference to Real Science Radio in the current March 2019 issue of Acts and Facts. This is published by Henry Morris's group, ICR, out of Dallas, Texas, the Institute for Creation Research. Now, Fred Williams and I, our favorite creation magazine is called Creation. It's published by CMI out of Australia. They have offices in half a dozen countries around the world, including the U.S. But Acts and Facts, it's becoming a magazine, but it's been a glossy newsletter for decades. It may be, I'm not certain, but it may be the most popular creation publication in the world. It is so popular. Cover story, March 2019, on dinosaur soft tissue. It's written by Dr. Brian Thomas, who's a dear friend of Real Science Radio. And he mentions us, which is an honor, in the lead paragraph. Let me share that with you. Brian writes, about 10 years ago, I began tracking reports of soft tissue discoveries in fossils. By 2013, I had compiled a list of around 40 secular technical journal articles that describe either literal soft tissues or tissue remnants that include protein fragments in original biochemistry in very old fossils. So the point of that is, if a fossil is supposed to be 40 million years old, or 160 million years old, or 220 million years old, you wouldn't expect that it would still have blood vessels and blood cells, or DNA, or histone proteins, or any of a dozen proteins they've sequenced so far from dinosaurs and other fossils. That's overwhelming evidence that they're not old. They're closer to the age of Egyptian mummies, because you find something similar in the bones of Egyptian mummies. So, Brian says, I started compiling this information. By 2013, I had around 40 secular technical journal articles describing this phenomenon. Real Science Radio host Bob Enyart and I continue to curate that growing list online. And then there's a link to one of my favorite pages on the entire internet, and that is the Google spreadsheet. I don't know if you've ever gone on the internet. Usually people go to a social media app like Instagram or Facebook, or they go to a web page like Wikipedia or kgov.com. Usually you don't follow a link to a spreadsheet. But Google Drive, really Google Docs, they allow you to have online spreadsheets, sort of like Microsoft Excel. I don't know if anybody remembers the olden days in the Middle Ages, like Lotus Symphony, Lotus 1-2-3. Well, you can do that online at, you have a Google Drive if you have a Gmail email ID. And on there, you have Google Docs and you start up a spreadsheet, and there it is. So we have this list of peer-reviewed scientific papers of not only dinosaur soft tissue, but so many others. And it's now over 100 papers have been published. And it's such an easy-to-comprehend list. That's one of the things I love about it. And yes, Brian Thomas and I curate this list. And so it's chronological. There's 104 papers so far. And the first paper was published in 1954. Right up through 2019. And there's a description of what was found. Like here, ginkgo leaves full of organic molecules. How old are they supposed to be? 200 million years old. And that's in the journal Nature, Ecology, and Evolution. Then there's this, early Triassic reptile blood vessels. How old are they supposed to be? 247 million years old. In the journal Plus One, Public Library of Science. So many hadrosaur blood vessels, and it goes on and on. There's 104 of these, and the next column is age, how old they're supposed to be. And something fun, you can see the one from 2019 so far is supposed to be 160 million years old. It's keratin that is still keratin inside of a feather that's supposed to be that old. Well, this age column, we have highlighted in red all of the ages of fossils that are allegedly a quarter of a billion years old or older. And there are so many that are highlighted in red. It's just astounding. And some of these were, and this fulfilled our prediction, because Fred Williams and I predicted that not only would dinosaur soft tissue not be rare, when they first published in the journal Science, T-Rex soft tissue blood vessels, they said it's the most rare discovery imaginable. It's such a rare phenomenon. Fred Williams and I went on the air laughing like we usually do on Fridays, Real Science Radio, and we said, it's not rare. Here's how common it is. They're going to find it whenever they look for it. And that has been confirmed. You find dinosaur soft tissue when you look for it. The next column in this Google spreadsheet, it's titled List of Biomaterial Fossil Papers. The next column is a link directly to the scientific journal. And some of them, you need a subscription to read the article, or you can pay for it. Sometimes they're available online freely. For many of these papers over the years, I've had to pay, typically it's $35 to get a paper that you don't have a subscription for. And so when people donate to Bob and Yurt Live, we use those funds for so many very important purposes, and that's one of them. So by the way, kgov.com, and you click on the store to donate or subscribe or check out any of our fabulous resources, Bible study materials, and topical videos and science videos. The next column is other notes, really neat excerpts from the articles or other observations. And then finally, the last column is the volume, the issue, the page numbers, and so on to identify the paper. But you just link, you got the paper right there. So it's so easy to get to this. If you are driving, you could take the shortcut, kgov.com/soft, and that'll get you right there. In fact, that's the best way for anybody. kgov.com/soft, get you right there. Okay, now, while I'm talking about the spreadsheet, our board operator is telling me that he's got a bit of audio from years ago when we called Michael Jackson's attorney's office. We aired that last week. That's what Dave called in. This is different. Okay, this is, and it's brief. Okay. All right, let's hear what this is.
Mark Garagos said today, that's Scott Peterson's attorney, Michael Jackson's attorney. It seems like he only represents people who are guilty.
Okay, that was perfect. You pulled that out of the archives. That's pretty funny. Garagos is currently representing Jussie Smollett in Chicago, the homosexual who paid some guys to beat himself up. Other people have mentioned, why in the world would anyone in Chicago pay somebody to beat them up? $3,000, just walk down the street. If you don't get beat up, you get shot. So that is something. If you want the public to know that you're guilty, hire Mark Garagos. Then everyone will know that you're guilty. And defense attorneys, wow. Not only defense attorneys. We have a video that people get when they subscribe to our topical videos, or you can get it directly. Just kgov.com, click on the store, check out our videos, The Trouble with Lawyers. It's also, our store has different departments, Bible study, New Testament, and we have science and the Department of the Government. We've got these neat departments, parenting. And so in our government department, or just search in the store in the top left, type lawyers or trouble. In that video, The Trouble with Lawyers, from a biblical perspective, what's wrong with the concept of lawyers? Why do we have lawyers? You need lawyers when the law has become a weapon against the innocent. That's the primary need for lawyers. When the law has become a weapon against the innocent, you need lawyers, and lawyers have a lot of job security. And in America, they all say, including our judges, that we have the best system in the world, even though we have some of the highest, like violent crime rates, murder rates, sexual assault rates, and incarceration rates in the world, they still say we have the best system in the world. So long ago, we figured out what they meant by that. They mean that we have the best paid lawyers in the world. We have the highest paid lawyers in the world. That's why they think that we have the best system in the world. It took a while to figure that out, but we did eventually figure it out. Okay. And then the former abortionist, New York State abortionist, Anthony Levitino, who we aired his five-minute testimony to Congress earlier this year, we spoke with him just yesterday, and he is headed to Israel and then Egypt, and he agreed, yes, he'd love to come on the show. We're going to ask him about basically his testimony to Congress, so powerful, how he recognized that abortion was immoral, it was wrong. He had to stop doing abortions after he had himself committed over 1,000. He killed over 1,000 children for money. It couldn't be more horrific. He realized it was a horror, and he stopped killing children, so much so that now he warns people about it. And he's agreed to come on the show to share that with us. And then also I told him I'd like us to talk about how is it that we're going to eventually end child killing, decriminalize child killing in America, our efforts to stop abortion, to abolish abortion. So that should be a good show, but that'll be in April. Tim Mahoney tomorrow on Patterns of Evidence. What an honor it is to be friends with Tim Mahoney. He's complimented us over the years. He's been in studio. We've shared a meal or two together, even once with his wife. And we've done, I think this will be our fourth interview with Tim. And he's pointed out over the years something very gracious. And it's a bit embarrassing to repeat, but sometimes you do it, like the Apostle Paul says, sometimes you do it. But he says, Bob, there's something about Bob and Yurt Live, Real Science Radio. You guys have a way of making the argument in the most powerful, concise way possible. Thank you for that. And wow, Tim, that's a great compliment. Thank you for your work, and God bless you guys.